Welcome to this week's episode of The Nerdy Rat. We have updates on Foster's, we have news about our Etsy shop, and we saw Thor Ragnarok. So we'll be talking all about that. So here we go.
Welcome, everybody, to the Nerdy Rat, episode 16.
Yep, it's November 14th, 2017.
Was it a Tuesday?
Tuesday, I guess.
Tuesday. Yeah. All right. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about this week. We got Thor, Blizzard, had BlizzCon, I think.
Okay.
BlizzCon hadn't happened the last episode that we did, right?
I don't honestly know. I know you were telling me about the updates. Yeah, I know. That, I think it was coming up. We had talked about it on
the
podcast.
It was on the 3rd, and the last episode was on October. So.
See, it's hard when we're married because we have conversations, and then we can't remember did we have them on the podcast or off the podcast.
We've also done that for Steve in the car.
Well, you did that for Steve in the car. Yeah. But he's skipping this part. That's his brother. Yeah. So we're getting off topic. Let's get started with some ratty news and updates.
Yeah, we've got 6 Fosters now. I think the last time we had gotten rid of we had adopted out all of our Fosters, so we didn't have any. And now we have 6.
Yep, set up in 2 cages.
2 sets of 3. We've got 3 girls and 3 boys. The boys are going to be getting adopted on Sunday.
Yep. We haven't had them all that long. And they came in unneutered, but they actually had to get neutered relatively quickly because they started fighting with each other.
They were fighting late at night, I noticed.
And they were getting too aggressive. And you know they love each other. They've been bonded since they were born, and they're not that old, right? Are they about 6 months old?
I think they look to be around 6 months. They don't look to be a full year yet.
Yeah. So a lot of times, you know, boys just end up fighting with each other when they're not neutered. And I still see that topic come up a lot on the rat forums on Facebook, is people question why the rats are fighting each other. And I think it's a good idea if you're going to adopt a rat. Don't get lured in by like the $10 or $15 adoption fee. You really want to either spay or neuter your rats when you get them.
Well, one thing Teresa said too, and this might have been partially the case, is they smelled our girls when they got here.
Yeah.
And that kind of triggered them to start
getting more aggressive,
getting dominant with each other.
And
fighting over dominance with each other. So, we got them spayed. That's
neutered.
We got them neutered. Sorry.
Yes. The rescue did. And
just about had to get neutered all the boys I've taken in. And I don't know if that's because I do have girls and that's what causes them to start getting aggressive or not.
You're talking about our Fosters.
I'm talking about my history with Fosters, but
in general, but you know what, it's better for them overall, so I'm just as happy that the rescue gets that done for them.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's a good idea too.
But you know, just if you're thinking of adopting, it is really good to set aside that $75 or $80, or it could be more depending where you live and what your vet fees are.
Yeah, I like it for boys. They tend to calm down a lot.
They get along real cuddly. Yeah, they really love cuddling in the bonding pouch and the hammocks.
Their fur gets softer.
Mm-hmm. Once they're neutered, that
happens. It's like really all upside. Like there's not really any downsides to getting them neutered.
The downside is just the cost. Well, and I think a lot of people don't plan on that.
Yeah.
So I'm saying you should plan ahead. If you're going to get rats, plan to spend like $125 to $150 per rat when you get them. And, you know, just plan that that's part of the expense of owning a rat. And you'll be much happier. And the rats will be much happier.
Yeah. We just had our new girl, Dawn, spayed this week.
Yep, she's the one we had adopted. She had been left in the poop bag, remember, and she's doing so well now.
Such a sad story, but she's happy now.
Oh my goodness, she has got the bestest brother ratties in Toro and Fievel. They adore her.
Well, earlier today, I saw they were all in the hammock. Mm-hmm. Like, we have one of the small hammocks. I saw she was in there with Toro, and then 2 of them were on top of the hammock.
They can tell. You know, ratties are so empathetic. They can really tell when one is not feeling good.
Yeah,
and they were really upset when I took her out of the cage and I didn't take any of them with her to go for the spay. And then when you brought her home, like, they were just cuddling her, and Toro was being very protective, and she's not feeling too good, but she's recovering.
I think
just
she's fine.
She was a little dopey from the anesthesia, and she's got pain meds for a couple days.
Yeah, we give her Medicam for 3 days.
Yeah.
So yeah, she'll be doing well. And then it's so much better than having to deal with mammary surgeries down the line. So less invasive. Mm-hmm. And
just if you haven't listened to our other podcasts or you're not aware, if you get your girl rats spayed before they're 6 months or a year, it prevents mammary tumors. And the mammary tumors, almost all of them get if they don't get spayed in time.
Yeah,
and the surgery is expensive, and it also can kill them really quickly and shorten their lives so much.
When we lost our last girl,
I know, Creesa.
Creesa, she got like three back to back. Know. So we got one removed.
Yeah,
but then she was
having like heart failure as well as the tumors.
Yeah, but I mean, even if she hadn't, that's two more tumors. It's like, do you want to keep putting them through the surgery?
Well, right, and her particular tumors too. She got two at the same time, but they were spaced so far apart from each other. I don't think she would have been able to have them removed.
Not at the same time.
Because it would have cut her up so much. Yeah, I don't think she would have survived that.
Yeah.
And she was one we had taken in who needed adoption, so she wasn't ours from when she was a baby, which is why she wasn't spayed.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll make your life so much happier if you invest that initial outlay at the beginning. And you know, you're going to be spending money on the cage and supplies and stuff for them anyway. So I think you might as well spend a little extra money.
If you get four girls and you get them all spayed, that's probably going to be cheaper than like any of the surgeries you're ever going to have. Because inevitably out of four, you're going to have at least two that end up with tumors,
or it's just going to break your heart.
And the surgery to remove the tumors is often much more expensive than the spay.
Yeah. Now we're fortunate that there's a birth control animal clinic close by that does the spays for $75, which is very inexpensive.
If you're in Maryland, there's the animal birth control clinic in Millersville, Maryland,
which is kind of close to Crownsville, which is where the Renfest is.
Yeah, they only do appointments like on Mondays, I think. Is it Mondays?
They do Mondays, but they might do another day of the week as well.
But yeah, look them up if you're in the area and you need cats. They do cats and dogs too. They do
rabbits.
Pretty much do anything.
Yeah.
And the lady there is really good with rats. I've never had any complications from any of the spays she's done.
And she does a lot. She's worked with our rescue.
Yeah, she worked when we had the hoarding situation a couple of years back in the rescue. She did a ton of surgeries
for all the
she spayed pretty much every rat that came out of that hoarding situation.
Yeah,
and she did a great job. And
yeah, she's excellent, and her clinic is really excellent. I really and they only she do helped the spays and neuters, which is why I think it's more affordable. Yeah. They don't do extra vet care there at the clinic.
And $75 for a spay is
it's incredible,
unbeatable.
Our
anywhere
normal
you go.
Vet, who is very cheap, charges $150 for a spay,
$150 is really good.
It is.
I would still take that. Like some places may charge you $600.
Oh, I know.
And that's usually because they just don't do it that much and they don't know it. Like,
and you really don't want to get someone who's not experienced with rats.
Yeah, I've always said if they're quoting you prices for surgery of $600, I would be a little bit wary of that, because I think that indicates that they probably don't do it a lot. So they're kind of pricing it based off
what
they would price like a dog or a cat. So I would be worried about how much experience they have. Like, I'm sure they're competent to do it, but they're probably not as familiar with the rat anatomy as they are with a dog or a cat. Like, it's like the more you do something, the better you're going to be at it, and the better you're going to be able to deal with any complications that come up. So
right.
If they're quoting you high prices, I think it's a good chance that they probably don't do it a lot. So,
So that's what's going on. Now, we also have three pews, which are pink-eyed whites. They're foster girls who desperately need a forever home.
And they had to be given up.
Maybe we shouldn't say exactly what the
situation
was.
For personal reasons,
the person did not want to have to give them up. And she just got into a very...
And you can tell they're very well-loved rats.
Situation.
Because
they're
very friendly. And the one does nip a little bit if you go into the cage when she's not ready or
well, even when she's ready, sometimes I've noticed she'll go from licking me to chomping on my finger.
She's done that to me a couple of times. I think she's kind of grabbed onto my finger.
Yeah,
like she's like tasting me or something.
I think she's trying to be affectionate when she does it, and she doesn't realize it hurts. So I'm really
working. She might have been a mother rat, because like mother rats tend to carry rats around by the scruff of their neck.
Oh,
maybe
she's just
something like that.
Yeah, she's like, come here, human, come here. I'll
carry
you around.
It's not bad. She's
very sweet, though. She's not doing it to be mean.
She scratched me one time when she bit it, but
did she?
she rarely does it, but and
yeah,
and you just got to be aware of it. And she,
well, and the thing is, you have to be comfortable with a rat that's going to do that once in a while and just not freak out when she does it, because she's not doing it to be mean and she's okay with being picked up and handled. They all really like snuggling mm-hmm. in the bonding pouch. Yeah, these are very sweet girls, but you just want to make sure you're comfortable getting your finger chomped on. Like, it's probably not going to hurt you, like Matt said, like not more than like a little scratch. But we're also working with them. And one thing I do when rats bite like that is I tap back on them with my fingernail real gently. And I say, gentle. And I mean, I've taught my cat to be gentle and I've taught other rats to be gentle. But you have to be careful when you do that, that you do it like with a heart of love. Because if you do it meanly or like you're punishing them, they're going to get more aggressive back. And that's not going to be good for them.
I think you have to accept that they're... you're never going to break it 100%.
No, exactly. And
like, yeah, like you taught Kitten to be gentle, but he's still not always gentle.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, he knows that's the rule, but yeah, he's still, you know, the temptation is too overwhelming at times.
Yeah, we were just playing with the mama a few, like mm-hmm. a little bit
we
ago.
Took a little break, yeah.
She was nibbling on my finger. She was very cute.
Yeah. But like they're definitely nibbly or bitey, so you gotta be okay with that.
Yeah, but they're super sweet. I think whoever gets them will be very happy with them.
I think so too, because they're so loving. Like, they really want attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I don't know, I love those little girls. They're all very cute.
Mm-hmm. I love them too. They're just really sweet, and I just love them. They've just clearly been so well loved. Mm-hmm. And they need someone who's going to love them.
Yeah. And you can tell too, like, we've had rats where we've had to work with a lot. And mm-hmm. We really had the current rats that we have. We haven't really had to do much rat work with at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, all of them are really comfortable being handled, which I think is really important.
I would suggest that whoever adopts the girls strongly to get the two younger ones neutered. I think the older one is spayed. Past the age, or get them spayed. Keep mixing those up today. I don't know why.
It's okay.
But yeah, I would encourage you to get them spayed. The older one, I think, is too old to have any benefit from getting spayed. Mm-hmm. So I think getting her spayed would just be putting her through stress. That's not going to be helpful. But the other younger two, I would definitely, because I think they're under 6 months. It might be over, but then I've taken risks before where we weren't exactly sure how old the rat was. And we just got them spayed and it ended up working out. I think pink eyes... I'm just going for my anecdotal personal experience, but mm-hmm. I think pink eye whites have less of a tendency to get these types of tumors.
Really? Oh.
I think so, because none of the, like, I'm surprised this older one doesn't have any currently.
Yeah, knock on wood.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting. I don't think we said, so this is a bonded trio. The older one, I think she's a semi-rex because they all look very similar, but she's got slightly bushier fur. She doesn't have the curly whiskers, but her fur is a little bit bushier and thicker.
They're all rats. Like I know that people talk about all the different, like, they're just variations of the same species. So you get a lot of mixed traits and stuff like that.
Yeah. But then the younger two are actually mother and daughter. So mm-hmm. it's the middle one is Pinky, and then her daughter's name is Sparkle.
Depending on the father too, you could have two adult parent and child that look completely different.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes you get pink eyed whites from two rats that are neither one are pink eyed whites. So.
Right.
Yeah. So you wanted to talk about some animal news?
Well,
this is another DC Eagle update.
Yes.
We need like an intro music for the DC Eagle update with Liz.
It's the Eagles. I feel like I need like Sam the Eagles music from the Muppet Show. Didn't Sam always have like really presidential music when he was on the Muppet Show?
Oh, yeah.
Remember
him? Yeah.
He would like come out. Yeah, Sam the Eagle from the Muppets. The original Muppets.
He was real cranky, wasn't he?
He was. Well, he was very much into properness and procedure and respect and honor in the American way, which these days that could have a loaded meaning, but Sam just liked things the way he liked them. But so the Eagles have started rebuilding their nest. Ooh. They're like tidying it up, and there's a cute little video we're going to post a link to of them adding a stick to the nest.
Oh, a stick.
This was a very big deal.
So are they reusing their nests from previous
year? Yeah, they're reusing.
They're
just like sprucing it up.
They're
a little
updating.
Bit.
They're adding a new room to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. They're adding a sunroom. You know, yeah. yeah. They're just like repairing it a little
just
bit.
Adding it on to mm-hmm. the back.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's pretty much the local animal news, you know. Cool. But,
and you've recently started... did we talk about the fact that you have an Etsy shop last time?
We did, but I haven't had many sales until just recently. I've been having a boom of sales. A
couple weeks you've been kind of blowing up. Like,
I have, and I appreciate it. Thank you, everyone who's bought bonding patches. Yeah,
now, is everybody that bought one a listener, or is it just...
I don't know. I know a few of them are. A few of them are. Oh, and I was going to give you shout-outs, listeners, but I forgot to write it down. So I got to wait. Let me look up your names for the loyal listeners. Yeah, but while I'm looking that up, so anyway, I'm
also like, I if people search rats on Etsy, they'll probably find your store, right?
Well, it's under the shop name on Etsy is The Nerdy Rat, no spaces. It's all run together. And what I do is I'm selling bonding pouches, which we talk about all the time because we love them because they're so useful for our rats. And then I also started selling rat hammocks because I make those for our own rats. So I started selling those. And if you need the hanging hooks, I also have those in the shop. So I have a couple of very cute fall prints. Well, one is a fall print for the hammock. It's like a purple plaid with an orange fleece. Kitten, be gentle. See that's how we do the gentle training. Yes. And he knows because he came over to say hi to me. He's like, yes, mommy, I'm sorry. I'll be gentle. And then I also have a cat print fleece and flannel for the hammocks. If you have like us, a cat as well as your rats, and you want to just share the love. But yeah, I have like some fall foxes that I have to sew up, and then I'm going to start selling Christmas hammocks for people who want to decorate their cage for Christmas.
Oh, very cool.
Yes.
Yeah. So you sell the basic hammocks, the square and the single part.
There's a large variety of hammocks. But I don't see a lot that are exactly like ours. So one is a small tube, and that's what it sounds like. It's a tube that your rats can crawl inside. And then the other one is a large pocket hammock. So it's like a large rectangle with like folded over pockets so the rats can go inside the pockets.
Oh, I see.
And they have flannel on the outside and fleece on the inside. And they're very cozy and comfortable, and your rats will love them. Or your other small animals, such as gerbils or hamsters or things like
here's
that.
Here's the page. So it's
So let me see. So I think one of our listeners, I'm trying to find. Yeah. I was going to give them all little shout outs and I'm. Oh, Tiffany. So, hey, shout out Tiffany. She bought a pink plaid rat bonding pouch, and she had just started listening to our podcast, and then she bought the pouch. And then the other one, I think, was
Kelly?
Patricia. No, I think Patricia was the listener. Oh, I'm not sure if Kelly is the listener or not. She might be.
Yeah, she gave
Kelly,
us a
if you're a listener,
she gave
hey.
A review.
She did give me a review. I think I think the one who was the listener I had a conversation with, I think that was Patricia.
Okay, cool. So
anyway, yay.
So the website is www.etsy.com/shop/the nerdy rat.
And I think there might be another way to get there. I think if you type thenerdyrat.etsy.com, I think it might take you there.
Does it?
I think so. Yes, it does. It takes you right to the shop.
Okay.
So it's an easier way to type the address.
Nerdyrat.
Or, of course, we have it listed on our homepage on our website,
oh,
thenerdyrat.com.
Did you put it up there already?
Of course.
Okay, cool.
Thenerdyrat.com. So anyway, thanks for all the sales, listeners, and please buy more.
Yeah.
Your rats will love them. And
yeah, the bonding pouch, no one else was making that bonding pouch, and that's the reason you started the shop, right?
Yeah, well, because no one was making it in this particular style, although this is a pattern that I found on the internet, and I just started using it with our own rats. I adapted it a little bit. I make it bigger, and I kind of quilt the
handle.
Yeah,
the original one you made is super tiny. It's almost like a mice hammock. Like,
and you know what? The first one I made for us that was so small, I had already enlarged the pattern for that
crazy.
One. I know.
Yeah, because I know I tried to use it the other day with just the three girls, and they barely fit in there. It was like,
I know. Well, and then you remember like one of the second ones I made was like way too big. It was almost like a pillowcase size.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it
that
was
one
for
that one
a
was
foster
really big.
Family. Yeah, so I kind of was like the three bears. Like, first it was too small, and then it was too big, and then I figured out like a good size for it. Yeah, so.
And now we have wrapping paper for Christmas too.
Yes, yes, or any holiday. It doesn't have to be for Christmas, but you can get your items gift wrapped. This is like a new Etsy thing. You can get it gift wrapped and sent directly to the person you're buying it for. Oh. Or like, you know, if you're a listener to this podcast, just drop hints that this is what you want good for the holidays.
Good for Christmas.
Exactly. Get people to buy it for you.
Very cool.
Yeah. So it's fun. I've been having a lot of fun because, you know, I have some disability issues and I only work part time. So this is like a fun.
Yeah. This wasn't really something. This was never really something we planned on with the.
No, it just kind of grew. Just kind of came out organically. Well, because I started making the bonding pouches for our forever families who adopted our fosters.
And
because
somebody wanted to buy another one, right?
Yeah. Our rat coordinator asked me if I would sell them because she had somebody who wanted to buy one. And I was like, oh. And you had said to me just a couple days before that, you were like, you should sell these on Etsy. And I was like, oh, well, all right. Well,
people, I mean, that's where people go for a lot. Because, like, you can't find stuff for rats specifically in Amazon. Like, your best bet is looking for stuff for a ferret and hoping it's not too big. Like,
exactly, yeah.
But it's still, like, it's not made. And this stuff is all specifically made for rats. So.
Exactly. And it's made with love.
That's true.
You can't buy that.
That's true. Made right here.
That's right.
In the
Nerdy
the
Rat.
The home of the Nerdy
Workshop.
Rat Studio.
That's right.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a good 20 minutes. Let's move on to some nerdy stuff.
All right. Well, we saw Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We saw Thor.
We loved it.
Loved it. Yeah. It was exactly as good as I thought it was going to be.
Now, I didn't realize until after we saw it, but it was the director who did that vampire mockumentary that we liked. What was that one called? Do you
what
remember?
What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, didn't we talk about this on the podcast?
Did we talk about that on the podcast?
Yeah, I said it's Taika Waititi is the director. He was one of the directors.
But I don't know if we talked about that vampire mockumentary on the podcast. I don't think we did.
I had mentioned it. Maybe you
forgot. Did you mention
it?
Maybe I forgot.
Maybe you didn't realize that's what I was talking about, What We Do in the Shadows.
I probably just forgot. But but anyway, it was so funny, but it also had heart, which I think is just the most important combination for a good movie.
Yeah, it was great. I saw somebody wrote this article about, they were like, yeah, the movie's fun, but it's fun enough. And it was basically like criticizing all the Marvel movies because they're just fun movies. Like, you know...
There's nothing else to them. Is that the criticism? See, I disagree with that strongly.
Yeah, that's kind of what I didn't read. I didn't read the entire article. Uh-huh. I read like the first page or so, and like he basically just talked about, oh, these are fun. No one will deny it's fun. Now, he kept saying the word fun,
in a negative way, almost.
He just was saying, you know, how you say a word so many times, it loses all meaning.
Yeah,
it's just like. Use some other words to express what you're trying to say, but what I took from what he was trying to say was like, yes, the Marvel movies are fun, but they're not really technically good movies,
I
disagree with that too. It's like, what is the movie trying to accomplish and does it do that?
Mm-hmm.
And this movie absolutely does that.
Absolutely,
and the thing is, like, I'm not a fan of the first two Thor movies. I think you liked them a little bit more than I did, but...
Mostly because I hadn't seen them and I had just gotten into the Avengers. So I watched them after the Avengers. So I liked having that backstory.
What this director brought to these movies was exactly what Thor needed.
Because the humor.
The first two were just...
They were heavy-handed.
They were heavy-handed and they could have been better if they had this director's kind of comedic touch. Because this was really... It was really kind of underplayed. It was kind of dry, but it was really, it was really good.
It was like smart, sassy humor.
It didn't get in the way of the story. It kind of poked fun at itself a little bit.
Exactly.
Like let's get into spoilers, but like one of my favorite parts is when like Banner's like, okay, I have to do this, and then he jumps out of the ship, and then he just kind of lands and splats on the
turn into the Hulk,
and then it like cuts away, and then he becomes the Hulk.
Mm-hmm. I thought
little stuff like that just made it so great, and the director played the character Korg in the movie too, who was the giant rock monster.
Yeah, who kept making all those little funny British
and he
lines.
Was just like he was just very like he was like, oh, you know, that would be cool if you think you'd be in that kind of thing. He's like, okay, yeah. Yeah. It's just so great. It's like.
Mm-hmm. Now, and what I liked about it, too, is that besides all the humor, like, they actually managed to make, like, a really touching story. Like, I actually thought it was nicely done how they expanded Loki's character and had him actually have some character growth and development. So he wasn't just the evil king, and he hadn't actually killed his father, which you kind of think from the end of the last Avengers movie that he has killed his father. It turns out, no, he just put him in a nursing home in Earth, which was like really funny too. Like that's kind of hysterical in and of itself.
It was written really well, I think.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, the resolution at the end was felt kind of satisfactory because it was kind of, it was a little bit obvious what was going to happen at the end of the movie from the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, but I don't mind that necessarily because I thought it was really nice. Like I want in a superhero movie, a movie that's going to make me feel good. So I love that Loki came back at the end. And what made it not overly cheesy when he came back to rescue Thor was that they had set up that whole play at the beginning where Loki was like the savior of the people. Yeah. And they had even Matt Damon playing Loki in the play.
Oh, that was great.
That
too,
was hilarious
Matt
too.
Damon.
But so I think the fact that they had done that so hilariously at the beginning of the movie kept it from being too cheesy at the end because it made it really funny when he came back and he's like, your savior has returned.
Yeah.
You know,
if you try to play those movies too seriously and trying to make like too much of a serious movie, it's just, they get boring and
but you need the sweetness too. Like
memorable.
Without the sweetness, it loses something too, you know, otherwise it's just like a throwaway. But I like too,
I forget her name.
Kiri or something. The thing the word just slipped out of my head,
she was a Valkyrie,
that's the word I'm looking for. So but that was kind of sad too in a way, that she was like an alcoholic and all her friends had died and she was the only one left, and they made it like a really kind of sweet moment between her and the Hulk too, and like her and Banner. So I just thought they did an excellent job of like tying in little heartwarming parts but not getting too sentimental and not getting like too callous with the humor.
Yeah.
It was really well done.
Jeff Goldblum was amazing.
Oh my God. He was so hysterical.
There was just so much good, so many good parts of this movie that they just worked together. And
and
it made it memorable too, where it's like, if I had to tell you some detail of any of the first two Thor movies, I could not remember.
Mm-mm.
I remember that.
No, the only thing I remember.
Ninth Doctor played the bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he was not recognizable in the second one. But other than that, I don't remember anything about that movie.
The only thing I remember from the first Thor movie is that it was very touching. I thought it was very touching from the first Thor movie when he went to sacrifice himself for his friends and he was going to go let Loki kill him. I thought that was touching, but that's the only thing I remember.
That was in the first Thor movie?
Yes, that was in the first Thor movie because that's the one that had Natalie Portman in it.
Yeah, I remember Natalie Portman being in it, but he sacrificed
himself.
He's
in the desert. Well, he doesn't actually get killed, but he tells him he's got a plan or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's before even he had his hammer, maybe. I don't know. But I don't even remember any of the details.
I don't either. So
but
that's
I just remember
why,
being touched that he would do that, and that because he was such a shallow character up until that point, and I thought that was like a pivoting moment in his character development.
Yeah, I think his character works a lot better the way they've been playing it the past couple of movies,
definitely,
where he's more humorous and more of a
like
the whole
kind
scene when the Hulk comes out and he's like, it's like, hey Loki, look who it is.
I know, and Loki's like, oh my God,
it's
no,
like I have to get out of here.
Oh, and that was something else I loved, is that the Hulk actually got to talk as the Hulk and be the Hulk, and he was like the actual Hulk from the comic books.
Well,
so that's what
this
I
was
loved
definitely
too.
Basically a modified version of Planet Hulk.
See, which I haven't read, but that's
so
a comic
it's like yeah
arc,
it,
right?
It takes, you know, the Hulk, he was the Hulk full time in Planet Hulk.
Okay.
And it was kind of where the Hulk was taking over, and the Hulk wanted to get rid of Banner, so he was just stayed as the Hulk the whole time.
Oh, okay.
And it was a different planet and stuff, and he ended up becoming like a king and stuff of that planet.
Oh, interesting.
But like Korg and the little bug guy, I think were both from Planet Hulk.
Oh.
They were like his teammates in the arena in Planet Hulk. I got to go back and reread it. But
well, see, and that's that's what I really like, is because the comics themselves are so good, and there's so many different storylines and complexities of relationships and stuff.
Well,
in
it
the
really,
comics, I like that they're drawing from the comics into the movies.
It took some great parts from Planet Hulk, and it really
that's
caught
good.
The visual style of Planet Hulk pretty mm-hmm. well too, I think. But yeah, I've got, if you ever want to read it, I've got the book. That
yeah,
was written
will.
By Greg Pak, actually, Planet
oh, okay.
Hulk.
Yeah.
He was one of my,
I've met him
a couple of times,
yeah,
but I like his writing. He
yeah.
wrote Planet Hulk. He also was a writer on Superman, Batman, New 52 series.
Oh, okay.
For a while. So right, I like his writing, right. but,
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, I like that the Hulk actually got to be an actual character who was kind of complex.
Well, they're starting to develop him as the actual Hulk,
yeah,
and
exactly.
that could be really good in a future Hulk movie where they mm-hmm. do like a Hulk versus Banner mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which could be really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I explore that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they were kind of setting up Infinity War here, too.
That was my impression, was that they're basically setting up
Infinity War. I think it's
going to
start where this movie ended.
Yeah, like if you watch the scene in the credits, my feeling is that that's Thanos'
Yeah,
ship.
Because also if you look, like, Doctor Strange, the scene at the end of Doctor Strange was actually in this movie.
I forget.
When Thor meets up with Doctor Strange. And
oh, that was
like,
at the end of the Doctor Strange movie in the credits?
That,
I forgot
yeah,
about that.
Part. The,
I thought that was a trailer
yeah,
or something.
End,
I knew I'd seen that before.
Yeah, the end credits for...
okay.
For it contained part of that scene where
oh,
he's
okay.
like sitting there talking to him,
right?
Because
like I remember I'd seen it with the beer glass before, and I was like, yeah. "Oh, was that in a preview? Did we see that?"
Yeah,
in the
he refilled. Yeah, no,
so
it
was at
the
end of Doctor Strange.
It was the jag at the
oh,
end
okay.
of Doctor Strange,
oh, okay.
which was really cool.
All right.
Yeah, and Doctor Strange was good in this movie.
Oh
very,
yeah, I was.
Very
I really
Doctor
enjoyed
Strange.
It. Oh yes, it was very fun. Like the way he was like just dealing with Loki and dealing with.
And
Thor.
You know, when we saw that scene at the end of Doctor Strange, I was like, "This is like Doctor Strange. Like, I really like this Doctor Strange."
Uh-huh.
I think it's because it was directed by the director from this movie.
Oh yeah.
I'd like to see him direct a Doctor Strange movie.
Well, you know,
that could
yeah,
be good.
Because that was the thing with Doctor Strange. I felt like that was also an example of a movie that was too heavy-handed. There wasn't enough sassy humor in it, you know? Like, mm-hmm. it was just very too much intense, you know? So, yeah, I liked this version of Doctor Strange much better. I agree with that.
Yeah, Jonas, I'm looking at the directors for Doctor Strange. It's not anybody I recognize.
Oh, by the way, since we're talking about superhero movies, and we know Justice League is coming out soon, but that's not what I'm talking about. But
that's gonna be.
There have been so many more allegations of sexual harassment and stuff nope. against different directors and things. Well, I think it's the producer who's associated with the Wonder Woman movie has been accused by multiple people. And Gal Gadot has actually threatened to step away from the project if they don't fire him, which I think is awesome. Like, I think that is so cool because everybody loves her as Wonder Woman. And I think it's pretty cool that she's threatening to walk if they don't replace him.
Yeah.
So go Gal Gadot, girl that's, power.
That's cool.
Yeah. No, I was happy about that.
All right. Well, let's see. What else are we going to talk about this week?
I don't know. You had some gaming.
Oh yeah,
stuff,
I had some
games.
Did
I don't
you?
Know.
Had,
I just
so did you have anything else you wanted to talk about, gaming
well,
related? Or?
I don't know, but you better give me something to talk about, or else it's just going to be you talking about your games. So,
well,
I don't know.
Okay. Well. Yeah. So.
What did you want to say about Star Wars? I know
so
you had something
Star,
you want to say
I know
about Star
we
Wars.
Talked about Star Wars last time,
mm-hmm.
and. Apparently, EA responded to it. So somebody posted on Reddit. They were basically complaining, saying that in order to unlock Darth Vader in this game,
mm-hmm.
you've got to the amount of credits it would take to unlock him equals up to 40 hours of in-game played time. So you got to play the game for 40 hours just to unlock Darth Vader.
Okay.
Or you can spend $80 and buy loot boxes and unlock him. And they responded on Reddit and basically said, oh, well, you know, we wanted it to feel satisfying when you unlocked him finally. And so we're looking at adjusting some of these numbers. And
mm-hmm.
now they've been writing articles. It's like the most downvoted comment in the history of Reddit with like 600,000 downvotes or something like that.
And now what does a downvote mean?
So
I don't
on
do Reddit.
The way Reddit works is that when you see a comment, if you think it's contributes to the conversation, you upvote
uh-huh.
it. If you think it's not related or doesn't need to be there, you downvote it. Uh-huh. So it's basically just people clicking on saying they don't like this comment. So, and 600,000 dislikes.
So basically, just people don't like the comment is what that means.
Yeah, okay. Basically. And yeah, it's
because obviously the comment's still showing up.
It's pretty much a disaster at this point. Like, and I think the real problem is that they've kind of got like a free to play model for a game that they want you to pay $60 up front for, mm-hmm. where you have to either play the game for hours and hours and hours to unlock all the upgrades and stuff, mm-hmm. or you pay money to do it, mm-hmm. which is like that's a free to play game model, and they want you to spend $80 up front just to buy the game. So, it's I'm not going to be getting it, unfortunately, unless they do a complete 180 and change stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's a shame. I know you were hoping it was going to
be good. Yeah, I know. But in better news, BlizzCon this year was really exciting for me personally. I know I had talked earlier about the Vanilla Warcraft server that got shut down, I think, a while ago.
Yes, I know you were upset about that. I forget how long ago that was, but I remember how upset you were about
that.
This
was like a year ago at this point.
So now, do people know this is World of Warcraft you're talking about?
Yeah, so World of Warcraft...
Explain the vanilla server in case people don't know what that is.
So World of Warcraft has had many expansions throughout the years. And basically, each time they release a new expansion, they update the game. So if you want to go back and play the original game as it came out, mm-hmm, you couldn't
without
really...
Without all the expansions.
Yeah, without the expansions, you really couldn't do that anymore. And right. Through a couple of the expansions, the actual world was changed and the models were updated, so everything's different.
Right.
If you want to play that game, you couldn't really play that game. So people were playing on private servers, which mm-hmm. Blizzard started shutting down.
Right, because they're so there was unlicensed private servers.
Which I understand why they were shut down.
Yeah.
But then they kind of they didn't ever want to release a server that was like this. Well, now at BlizzCon, mm-hmm. they announced that they're going to have classic servers for Blizzard quality classic World of Warcraft servers, which everyone is super excited for. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for. And they haven't said when they're going to be coming out, but they said this is something that they're going to start working on, mm-hmm. and they don't know when it's going to be ready, but it's mm-hmm. something they're doing. So everyone's really excited about that.
Oh, that's good.
They announced another expansion for retail World of Warcraft, which is Battle for Azeroth, which I think looks really cool because it kind of looks like they're kind of going back to over the years, World of Warcraft has kind of changed. It used to really, the first couple expansions were really, it was kind of like Horde versus Alliance. Like,
okay.
You have these two factions that are against each other, you know, like Horde was kind of like the bad guys, Alliances were the good guys, and you had to pick your faction when you started playing.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times, you could only attack people from the opposite faction. So it kind of, you had this like animosity towards the other faction and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it was always kind of like, you know, even went back in the Warcraft days, it was like orcs versus humans. Horde versus Alliance. So the past couple expansions, I think, have kind of gotten away from that, where it's kind of like everybody kind of works together to defeat this evil, you know?
Okay.
And now they're kind of going back to it's going to be Alliance versus Horde again, you know?
Okay.
So, and I think that'll be exciting. I'm looking forward to playing it when it comes out. Mm-hmm. I actually had kind of almost given up on World of Warcraft, even though I have what did I say? How many hours did I say I had?
Thousands? I don't know.
Yeah, it was maybe I still my calculator up. Yeah, over almost 5,000 hours played of Warcraft, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I was kind of to the point where I don't think they were really going in a good direction. But uh-huh. after this BlizzCon, I'm kind of excited again to play the game.
Well, that's good. Well, hopefully it'll be good and you'll like it.
Yeah. I think so. I've been playing. I went back and started playing it again, and I'm totally hooked again to Warcraft. Mm-hmm. It's like Warcraft is kind of like when you play WoW. It's kind of like a full time job, a little bit. It feels like that sometimes when.
Yeah, well, I remember when I first met you, you had just gotten back into it because an expansion was coming out. So you and your friends had like raids scheduled once a week or twice a week or something.
And I played that for like 2 months and then quit.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see if my enthusiasm for it keeps up. What have you been? You still playing your garden game?
Well, let me see. What have I been playing? Well, Gardenscapes, yes, of course. That's my little match-3 game on my phone. I play that a lot just because I like to have it something to do like when I have you know, some time on my hands. But that's not one like I really have to sit down and focus on a lot. You know, I don't really know what else I've been playing.
Did you play any more Stardew Valley? I know you've been playing that.
No, I haven't been playing that. I tried to get back into Legionwood, Tale of the Two Swords, which is a pixelated RPG on Steam.
Oh, that's right.
But you know what? I'm stuck in this area, and I think I'm going to have to Google how to do it, because I got to like this desert area, but it's like you just keep walking and walking, and you don't get anywhere. And then if you turn and go down, it like takes you out of the desert. So I'm like, what am I supposed to do here? I don't see anything to do here.
There might be one. Like there was a similar one. There was a similar puzzle in the original Legend of Zelda.
Oh,
where
really?
You go into that screen and you every time you go.
Yeah.
It would just be the same screen over and over and over
exactly.
again.
Exactly.
But you had to like go up, left, down, left.
Well, see, that's what I thought, is that it's probably a map like that, because there's like two screens that are a little different. But the problem is like there's no way to figure it out. I just feel like there's no way to figure out where it is or what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's kind of how the old games were, where you just had to, you couldn't even look it up.
Well, you could get Nintendo Power is what you could do.
Yeah, that's what you need. You need a Nintendo
but,
Power.
Well, I don't need to bother with Nintendo Power. I can just Google it, I'm sure. but so yeah, I'm gonna have to do that, because you obviously have to get through this desert place, because there's nowhere left on the map to go. Like that's the only place to go. So
yeah,
and like as far as the storyline goes, that's where you're supposed to go as well. So
yeah, probably just look it up online.
That's what I'm
you
gonna
know
have
you
to
should
do.
You should check out some of the RPGs on our Super Nintendo Classic that we got.
Oh yes, I
you
have
would
been
really
wanting
like,
to
got,
actually we need to
I'll
play that
it,
you finally
it
got it and we haven't even really played it.
Yeah, I even got a case for it and everything.
I know, we haven't really
yeah,
because
it's got Secret of Mana, I think.
Yeah, I've
it's
never
got
played that one. I would like that one. I know it has
oh, it's
Mario
got,
RPG,
it's got
which
Earthbound,
I like.
I think.
What's that?
That it's another RPG.
Oh, okay.
Like that. I think you would like it, probably.
Okay, I probably would. Yeah.
I'll have to get you checking that out, and then you can you can give us a review of it next time.
That's right.
Although
that's
next time we are gonna have we're gonna be seeing
Justice
League.
League, yes. But I'm sure
what are your predictions for Justice League?
I don't know. Now, is that the one that Joss Whedon took over the end of it on?
Supposedly he finished it.
But see, the other guy had already done so much work on it.
Yeah, Zack Snyder had...
Now, what else has Zack Snyder done? Because that might help me make
a
good prediction.
Zack Snyder did you ever see the Watchmen movie?
No.
Did you see 300?
No.
Okay.
Is so that he's, all he's pretty
the
much
first
done?
Movie he did was 300...
Was
he
that
didn't
like
watch
a horror movie?
No, that was it was actually based off a comic book.
Oh, okay.
But it was like the 300, the battle of the Persians versus Greeks
or
whatever.
Okay.
That and then he did Watchmen, and then he did I'm trying to think of the first DC movie he did, which I think it was the Superman one.
Oh, he did the DC movie.
And then
movie?
He did Superman versus Batman.
He did Superman versus Batman?
Yeah, that was Zack Snyder.
Oh.
He did not do Suicide Squad, though. He was not responsible
so
for that.
So, I am hesitant, I would say, because I did enjoy Superman versus Batman more than you did. But, I mean, I could hear what you're saying as far as the characterizations were being off and stuff like that. But I still thought it was an enjoyable movie. I'm hesitant. I'm not sure it's going to be that great.
I'm not sure if Josh was given enough to work with to turn it around.
Well, that's the thing, because he really, I don't think he was going to have that much opportunity to put his own stamp on it, because it really was the situation where Zack Snyder's daughter had actually committed suicide, unfortunately.
I think Snyder might have, because like Snyder does do a lot of things well. So I think like he may have put together a decent like base for Josh to come in and kind of tweak a lot and like make it a lot
we'll
better.
See. I know they were reshooting some of the scenes with Joss. So
I think he may turn it around.
I'm
cautiously optimistic, but I mean
the thing is, like, I like obviously Wonder Woman's in it, Gal Gadot, so I like her a lot.
Her movie was very, very good,
although not directed by either of these two people. So
yeah, but her character was
that's the thing. Her and she has brought so much to her own character that I think. It's just it depends how the script is.
She pretty much is Wonder Woman at this point.
Well, that's why I think it's so powerful that she's threatening to walk.
Yeah.
From the
well,
Woman
I mean,
sequel.
She can basically call the shots on her. On
well,
her
she
own
can,
stuff
and that's why
now.
I think it's so great that she can shut that whole movie down, because they can't replace her. Like nobody wants them to replace her. Like you said, she is Wonder Woman.
Well,
like,
I think it's about time that that Hollywood is finally getting called out on all this stuff.
Oh, I agree.
I think
and
Hollywood
not just
has
Hollywood,
been one
but everywhere.
Well, I think Hollywood has been the number one offender for this kind of stuff. And
it
oozes out to the rest of the world. But I think a lot of the corruption and issues with this stem out of Hollywood. And every time you see like a big, a lot of times it's centered something around there, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the oldest boys club in the country. Like,
well, yeah, that is absolutely true as far as that goes. And yeah. And I mean, it's prevalent in every workplace, but it's, you know, I think it's good that finally, I think with the age of the internet, honestly, people are finally able to band together and get enough publicity to not feel like scared to come out with what happened to them.
Was it a producer on her thing?
I think it was the producer, but he was a writer, I think, also at DC.
Oh, yeah.
He was heavily involved in the actual DC comics.
It wasn't Geoff Johns, was it?
I don't know. Google real quick Wonder Woman or Gal Gadot walking. Google it and look it up, because I don't want to get the wrong name.
Gadot walking. Oh, it was Brett Ratner. That's why.
Brett Ratner. Yeah, okay, now what has he been involved in? He's been involved with quite a lot. He was a producer of the actual comics?
No, he's like a big Hollywood dude.
He's just Hollywood? Because I thought he had something to do with DC.
Yeah, the main guy who's DC, who like kind of is the producer, kind of like, I almost would call him like the Stan Lee of DC, is Geoff Johns.
Okay.
And Geoff Johns has been basically the producer on everything DC's done in far as movie. And
but that's not the one who's being accused, so no, let's be it's clear. Brett, yeah, it's Brett Ratner.
Brett Ratner's come back, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's great, like, that, you know, people are finally able to band together. And I think it's good that people are actually listening and taking them seriously. Because, like, you know, with the Bill Cosby stuff, there had been an article, like, in People magazine, like, 10, 15 years ago with the accusations.
Yeah, they tried to go after him a while ago. And they couldn't.
And the story just got buried. And finally, it was like, you know, with the internet, I think, enough people were able to get publicity when they came forward, you know.
Yeah.
So.
So that's good. Yeah.
So I don't know how the movie's gonna be. This is
my prediction. I think it's gonna be good. I don't think it's gonna be fantastic. I think it's gonna be good. I think people might give it a little bit more praise because it's not gonna be bad. But I think it's just gonna it's gonna be good. It's probably gonna be a marked reproof.
I will say I think it will probably be enjoyable. That's the word I'll use. I don't know, I'm not gonna use the word good, but I think it will be enjoyable.
I feel safe saying I think it's gonna be good. I think it's gonna surprise a lot of people.
I hope it does, because I really would like to see DC be successful with their movies.
I am a pretty just for the right. If you guys haven't been listening to Nerdy Rat for a while, I can be a pretty negative guy about stuff. I can be the Debbie Downer a lot of times.
I can be, you know this.
and I'm saying I think it's gonna be good.
We'll see. Maybe that's just
my medication talking. But
stop. we'll see.
Yeah. Well, what? So we've had a couple. What are you thinking of the Flash so far this season?
Oh, the Flash TV show.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to talk about, but we forgot to put it on the outline. I'm glad you brought it up.
It's a good thing I'm bringing this stuff up.
They were all hashtag feminism in this last episode.
Oh, that was so cringy.
And it should have been hashtag dumbass women who are not feminists. Like, hashtag walking into a meta fight without any meta skills is going to get you killed. How about that hashtag? I guess that would exceed my Twitter characters.
I wish they just left that out. It's just so awkward. The whole
episode was awkwardly written. Then they let the villain go at the end. Like, what is that? They should have at least put her in the jail cell. But they're like, oh, no, goodbye. I'm not going to kill you, so just walk away. Like, what is that about? It was just so poorly done.
They're like, no, us women can do anything. It's like,
I was like, but, well, you could all, yeah, sure, you could get yourself killed. That's something you could do. But you're going to be an idiot. That's something you could do.
Why didn't they bring in Cisco's girlfriend? She's got some powers.
I know.
She can actually, like, take care of herself.
I know. I just thought that was like, it was a poorly written episode from beginning to end, honestly.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of it.
It was not good.
I do like that they're going to keep Plastic Man as a regular.
I liked that. And I thought some of the interactions between the guys were kind of cute, actually. That was actually much cuter than the girls.
I think this is going to be a good season with him in it, because I really think that he is a good, he's kind of a needed character in this current ensemble, because you've got a bunch mm-hmm. of like super like
serious and uptight intense.
Like by the book
people. Exactly.
And now the HR is gone.
Right. He's kind of like the
replacement. You don't have anyone that's relief. That's not like yeah. super serious all the
time.
I
agree with that. I think he's the good comic relief.
Plastic Man was the perfect character mm-hmm. to put into here, because he is kind of like a on the edge, kind of like, you know, almost, you know, we're like reform villain, but still kind of sleazy kind of guy that yeah, they need.
It's to, good. To, I'm glad.
You know, no pun intended, but yeah. bounce off of the other characters. Yeah.
No,
you know?
And I was hoping they were going to do more with Caitlin's Killer Frost to be complex. And they really, I felt like they just trashed that this episode. And I will say I do really like Cecile with Joe. I think they're a good couple. And I think I really like Cecile as a character. But I was not happy with the writing for this episode. So that was just kind of lame when she was trying to fight the villains. Not sure. But I like her interactions with Joe. I feel like her and Joe are very good together.
I think it was a weak episode, but mm-hmm. I like where the season is going.
I would agree with that. I think overall it's going in a good direction. I think you're
always going to have kind of like meh episodes.
Yeah. This one, honestly, you know? Just kind of felt like a filler episode. Like, we've got nothing to write about. And, you know, so we're just going to overplay
a lot of shows kind of do that, especially when they're like when they have a lot of overarching stories, they kind of mm-hmm. like run out of stuff to talk about, so it's like,
and they have to make it through 24 episodes like, or whatever.
I don't know, have them go on a bachelor party or something.
And now I will say I thought it was respectful but not realistic. I don't mind that they did this, but the women at the strip club were very heavily dressed. I mean, like, they were way covered up. Now, I appreciate
it's a
that.
TV show. They can't really.
Well,
like,
oh, there's plenty of TV shows that don't.
But
this is
like on WB
show.
Or CW or whatever.
But no, I'm not saying I mind it. I appreciated that. I thought that was actually hashtag respectful, you know, that they.
No, don't do that.
No.
Don't be that. No. No. No, we're not going to.
We're not going to. I was being ironic.
Hashtag the nerdy rat, everybody.
I was being ironic. Babe, I was being ironic. Because they were all hashtag feminism.
Oh, okay.
That's
all
why
right.
you didn't proceed. Get my humor. Thank you. Proceed. Hashtag proceed. No, see, I'm being silly. But no, I like that they were, I didn't mind that. But you know what I really wish they had done to be more realistic with the storyline was that I wish Joe's stepdaughter actually was stripping. I think they were serious when they were like, oh, I'm writing a book and I'm just researching my book. I think it would have been much more powerful to have it be like, no, she's really stripping because she likes the money and she likes the addiction to the power. And I think that could have given a lot more complexity to storylines down the road between like her and her mom and Joe. I wish they had gone there instead of just being like, oh, no, I'm just writing a book and I realize the error of my ways.
I'm just writing a book.
Let's go talk about it over brunch, mommy. Like, I just was like, really? I wish that had been the realism that they had put in.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you want to start watching the new season of Supergirl too, or are we going to wait for that to show up on Hulu or something?
We can wait if you don't mind waiting.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked last season, but I'm not super committed to it where I'm like,
if they don't bring her boyfriend back,
I want to drop the money to watch it early.
And we have to look up if they're bringing her boyfriend back, because he was like part of the best part of the show because he balanced out her craziness.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she was kind of getting out of control.
She was getting so out of control with her judgmentalism and stuff. And they were a really good couple, and he kept her grounded in, you know, non-bitchiness. At least he called her out on it. So
yeah, we don't have television here at the Nerdy Rat. We only watch things on Hulu or Amazon
or BritBox, where you could watch classic Doctor Who
episodes. Have you been watching more of that? Or
no, I need to though. Yeah. I want to. I'm on the one with the Daleks. I think we talked about that the other episode. Yeah. We also have Amazon Prime, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. We do.
I have to see if there's any new shows actually coming out on that, because the reason really we have Amazon Prime is mostly for the free shipping, but also because the modern Doctor Who is on there.
Like, I don't know how you would live in 2017 without Amazon Prime, personally. Like,
I know.
I mean, like, I ordered something that wasn't Prime and I was like, why did I do this? I'm never getting this item.
I know.
The SodaStream. I need it.
Oh, I know. Ours broke and, you know, it's been
This is a
terrible.
Sad story. Like,
Yeah.
I had been waiting for them to ship me like the thing that was supposed to fix it.
Like a washer thing. Because y'all know the soda stream is what fizzes your water. And we don't make sodas. We just make seltzer water.
Yeah. So like I called.
But we're addicted to seltzer. We don't like plain water.
I called their customer service like 3 times.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, well, you need this thing. We'll send it to you. And then I waited like 3 weeks.
And we didn't.
And they sent me a new bottle, but they sent me the wrong one. And then they didn't send me the little valve thing that they told me they were going to send me.
So
I just ended up ordering a new one. I was like, you know what? I can't live like this anymore.
I know. I know. We've been very dehydrated over here at the Nerdy Rat.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Next week we're going to be, or next podcast, we will be talking about the Justice League.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Gratitude Day.
Eat lots of stuffing. And,
eat lots of vegan food.
And, you know.
Share some with your ratties. They can eat pretty much everything, although I don't really recommend giving them meat, but they can. People do give them meat, but I don't personally like to give them meat. But
give them stuffing. They love stuffing.
Give them the yummies.
They can eat.
They have a little bit of stuff. Yes.
They'll enjoy it. Extra Life is unites thousands of players around the world for a 24-hour gaming marathon to support Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. If you can still donate for this year, up to the end of the year,
you can donate.
Link for my profile is on the webpage.
Yep, and that supports Children's Hospital. And then Small Angels Rescue is the small animal rescue we work with. That's No Kill. And we still need a lot of coordinators if you live in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area.
If you're in this area, we need volunteers. So.
Yeah, desperately need volunteers. And also, like we said, if you are in the area and you need a trio of amazing little girls, look on our website. We have a link to the Adoptable Rats. They would love a nice forever family.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
All right. Bye.